This is a Big Facts Network exclusive.
Yo, what's going on, homies? Your big homie Kodak, and this is another edition of the Big Homies House. We got a special homie in the building, goes by the name of DeVal. What's going on, DeVal?
What's good, Kodak? DeVal. Yeah, yes. And we practiced that, but
We're practicing. You got to get out of old habits.
Facts.
You got to get out of old habits. So for the people that's unfamiliar with DeVal.
Yes.
Yeah, you see how...
I see how you fixed that real quick.
Yeah. Give them a little background info on you.
A lot of people know me from Tyler Perry Sisters and Zatima. If you don't know me from that, you know me from Deadass Podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm also started a social sitcom on YouTube called The Ellises with my family. Wrote a New York Times bestselling book called We Over Me with my wife, Kadeen mm-hmm. Ellis. And now starring in the number one movie on Netflix called Meet Me Next Christmas opposite Christina Milian.
Opposite a baddie.
Yes.
Christina Milian get computers pewed. I don't care what your ear is.
Talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what do you think about the content creation space right now? I feel like it's really wide open for everybody. We have so many different networks, so many different platforms.
Yeah.
I think Tubi is a big...
Yeah,
people make jokes about Tubi, but shit, Tubi getting a lot of careers popping.
They getting hits. I mean, I think it's no different than when rap first started.
Mm.
You know, in the 80s and 90s, you had a bunch of independent artists, people doing things on their own, and they were like, "Oh, that's never gonna last."
Yeah,
and fast forward, you know, decades later, and those same independent artists, for example, like the Migos,
mm-hmm.
independent. You know, if you want to be honest, they were independent content creators.
Yeah.
And became platinum selling artists. I think that the content space is the same when it comes to video creation and picture creation. You know, a lot of people are using the technology and not getting stuck behind that wall, a gatekeeper wall, you know, where no one else can see you. Now, people can go directly to consumer. So I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. And like, I'm glad you made the comparison about the 90s when it comes to rappers, because I think that's one of the best comparisons. Like,
absolutely.
In Atlanta, we had Ludacris, and everybody was saying, oh, Ludacris going out the trunk selling his music. And you don't really realize how significant that was until you get to this day and age, to where it's like, people are independent, but you got a lot more resources to be independent.
Well, let me ask you this, Kodak, because you're big on music in the 90s, mm-hmm. right? The biggest sitcoms in the 90s were all starring who? Rappers.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince, Living Single, Heavy D had one, LL Cool J had In the House.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is those independent artists had a way of building an audience.
Yeah.
And when you build an audience, now the network comes to you and say, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
I think the content creator space has happened in the same exact way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've amassed a huge audience on Instagram, social media, YouTube, but also using, you know, Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
You know, being on two of his shows, I have an audience now that networks are saying, DeVal, people want to see you do things. What do you want to do next? And I attribute that to rap. I followed that blueprint.
Yeah, I never looked at it like that, but you're right. Like, the people, like, now you'll have, it's almost like an artist may not even have a passion to do anything acting, but it's almost like something that they're pushed into. Back in the day, if the artist wanted to do anything when it comes to, like, TV or film, like, you had to be that guy
or
that girl.
You did, but you didn't. Let's be honest.
You had to be marketable.
Oh, you definitely had to be marketable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You definitely had to be marketable. Absolutely.
Like, you had to be able to push yourself.
And you had to have a skill set.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Queen Latifah is a talented artist.
Yeah.
Will Smith, LL Cool J are talented artists, not just rappers.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing about Nicki Minaj. She went from rapping and doing things on her own to being in Ice Age.
Yeah.
She was in Barbershop. Eve did the same thing.
Yeah.
So realistically, if you look at history, it's important for you as a content creator to have your own, to build your own audience so that you can do those other things.
Yeah. And I would echo that sentiment. Like, across all spaces when it comes to content creation, podcasting as well,
absolutely,
independent artists, hell, you could be a beauty content creator.
Absolutely.
You got to be able to create content that makes your stuff stand out, because if not, you're missing out on a big lane of promotion.
Yes.
Like, how many times have you seen a fire food spot
mm-hmm.
on social media, and then you realize it's in your city? It's like, damn, I need to go try that.
All the time. I think recently it was what was the name of the place? Chicken Salad Chick.
Oh, Chicken Salad Chick.
I found out about Chicken Salad Chick because my wife was following the creator.
I feel like that's on the south side. On the south side of Atlanta. I've seen that
before. There's one in the north.
Okay.
Because we live closer up north.
Okay.
But my wife started going there, and we found it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Which shows you the power of having the audience in your hands. So
yeah.
I'm big on content creation. And that's why me and my wife got into the podcast space. We started our own, you know, Battle of the Sexes conversations on Instagram. And it grew to people like, y'all should have a podcast.
Okay, why do you think that content is the content that hits the heaviest on social media? Because as as somebody, I've been doing my podcast for the last, it'd be 4 years.
Yes.
It'll be 5 years in January. Damn, I need to do something
special.
But I've been doing it for 5 years in January. And what I've realized is those conversations are always the ones.
Yes.
You could talk about political stuff, social stuff, money,
yes,
food, whatever. But you get a good 50-50 debate going, you getting it popping.
I just think that it's easy content for the people who are consuming content during that age and demographic. For example, majority of the people are on their phones all the time or anywhere between 15 and 30, right? Those are people who are really consuming that type of content. Those people are dating.
Mm.
So since those people are dating, they're seeing the members of the opposite sex, or if you're in the same sex relationship, but they're dealing with those things on a daily basis, so it intrigues them. Plus, when you do a debate like that, it creates more engagement because negative conversations cause people to get triggered and they do more responding.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to get people to be triggered when you say something negative. So my wife and I started in the Battle of the Sexes space in 2018 before it was even a thing.
Yeah.
It was just me as a husband feel like this and you as a wife feel like this.
Yeah.
We got a lot of engagement. And they were like, you should start a podcast. So we started Dead Ass Podcast. But quickly we realized that you can't sustain only doing that type of content.
Yeah.
It gets played out and it gets boring.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So now we're in a space where we do a lot more growth conversations.
Yeah.
We've had the Battle of the Sexes. We've been married for 14 years. Mm. So now it's like, how do we get from the Battle of the Sexes to becoming two people who can move forward and gain everything we want out of life?
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up writing the book. So I don't think there's anything wrong with them conversations, but it is easy. It's low-hanging fruit to get people on your page,
exact,
but you can't keep them there like that.
Yeah, that's the exact verbiage I would use. And even sometimes, like, we ain't really talk about planning anything, even with this conversation. So a lot of the conversations that I have are really free flowing,
as they should be.
So sometimes if somebody, and then we have a rotating roster of people that come in. So the conversation that we had last week, somebody may want to have again this week.
It happens.
And then it's like, when I'm editing, it's like, damn,
we talked about this.
we talked about this already.
See, but that's the good thing, though, Kodak, because sharing is not about getting people to affirm your ideas. That's
absolutely
not why I share. I share to learn.
Yeah.
Right? So say I say something and Kodak be like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
My first thing is like, let me understand why Kodak don't agree. Mm. I don't automatically assume that you're my enemy because you don't agree. I'm like, wait a minute. That man has a completely different walk in life. He may see this different than me, so let me listen.
Mm.
So for some people, hearing the same conversation from different perspective works. Like for me, I'll listen to a podcast, and if there's a follow-up podcast, I'll listen to that. And if there's another follow-up, I'll listen to that. Because only listening to one perspective on a topic really kind of limits you, your ability to think. So I'm interested in all of that.
Yeah.
So shout out to you for even doing that.
Yeah.
Most people won't. They run from it. We talked about this already. Nah.
Yeah.
Let's keep.
And I'm the type of person, I don't want anybody in that's automatically going to agree with everything that I
Facts.
Say. Because if you agreeing with everything, like, yeah, I hate when women do this. Yeah, I hate that too.
It's like, what are we having a conversation about?
Okay.
I feel you. I feel you. But that's why also the Battle of the Sexes goes so well. Because you know they're not going to agree.
Yeah.
It creates easy conversation. You put a man and a woman in a room. You ask them a divisive question and watch everybody have something to say. It's just easy.
Yeah. And then that's how you get the kind of thing. You get the points that are not really standard from any, because you may have, like I say, if I got two women in here, I got two men in here, I may feel some way about the situation. He may feel a different way about the same situation. She may feel one way about it representing the women. The other woman may feel some way about
Absolutely.
It as well.
But you know what people need to understand? That's going to happen. Say I'm single. I date a different woman every single day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 365 different women.
Yeah.
That's a lot of perspective for me, right?
It is.
Even with that perspective, that's not even a thousandth of a percent of the amount of women in the world. So my perspective works for me. I still can't generalize and say all women, even if I dated a different woman every single day.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to have so many different opinions.
Yeah.
People need to start realizing that. Trying to get everybody to agree to one monolithic view of how men or women should live is going to be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And then we talk about like upbringings and stuff like that. Like
yeah.
Somebody's raised in a situation where, let's say,
exactly.
It was normalized for the, she saw her daddy going out and
exactly.
getting with multiple different women. She saw that. So
her,
when it happened to her in her life,
it's normal.
She was like, what are you talking about? This is normal. Whereas you may have another relationship. This woman, Ray, she saw her daddy for her daddy was married to her mom for 20 years before they even had a baby.
There you go.
Never, mama never paid a bill, took care of the house. Neither one of those sides are wrong.
See, Kodak, this is why you have a podcast. Because I agree the same way. You can't tell someone their walk in life is wrong. There's no book that says you got to be this way. Well, there is the Bible, but even the Bible is a collection of stories from a bunch of different people with different perspectives.
Yeah.
We as a people have to learn the divine dichotomy that exists within having a disagreement, which means that we both can disagree but both be right. You know, and respect each other because of that.
Absolutely, I agree with that because it's like just because we disagree on two things, like two points of perspective, it would only be an issue if I still knowing how this young lady cares about her life. It's only an issue if I'm still pursuing her, knowing that we don't see things the same way.
That's value. What you just said is valuable right there, because if you're not in alignment and you still pursue her knowing that y'all are not in alignment, then you wrong.
Yeah.
That don't make her wrong, and you trying to make her view the world the way you want it to be viewed, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Once you realize that, wait a minute, we're not in alignment, you can bow out and be like, sweetheart, that's what you're looking for, I may not be that.
Yeah.
And what I'm looking for, you may not be that. And it's okay.
Yeah.
That's why there's billions of people in the world.
Exactly. You just said something that was real important about like alignment, being aligned with the people that you're talking to, within the people that you're pursuing. And I just think like men have to be more accountable of when things do go south with a talking stage or a relationship and how they present themselves. Because it's a lot of times, like we said, a woman will be saying like, look, if we going out, I only eat 5-star dinners, or I only dress this. I need a vacation on the first date.
Right.
And you'll see that woman doing all that. You know that's not what you're finna do. Right. But you go out and chase that woman.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Now, whether or not she capping or not, because she could be putting some extra on it. That ain't up to me.
Kodak, you're right. Men have to be accountable for using discernment for the type of women they chase.
Absolutely.
If you chase the type of women who want the finer things in life and do this and you can't afford that, you can't then call that woman out of her name because that's what she requires.
Yeah.
But women have to be accountable the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You chasing a dude that sleeps with a bunch of different women every single day.
Yeah.
He's six-packed up. He's tall. He wants all of these things.
He got everything.
You have to be accountable for the fact that you want that man. So when that man comes to you and says he want to have sex every day, you can't be like, oh, you a sex addict. Something wrong with you. It goes both ways. Men and women have to use discernment on the type of people that they are pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
If that person is not in alignment with what you want, you can't then project all of your issues
on that. Oh, he's a bad person.
You know what I'm saying?
You knew who he was.
You knew who he was.
A bunch of women want him.
You see what I'm saying?
So what is it about you that would make this man say, you know what? I'm going to put all of these fine-ass women who got the same thing you got to the side. Cause now a lot of times it's entitlement, it's ego, and it's for both sides.
It's also people pledging allegiance to their gender instead of pledging allegiance to themselves and their partner.
Yeah.
For example, as a married husband, right? I got friends who be like, "Yo, if I was doing everything you doing for your wife, I'm not cooking, I'm not cleaning, I'm not, because you know you provide, you did all of this." And I was like, "Okay, I hear what you're saying." But you expect me to walk in my house pledging allegiance to you and tell my wife what I'm not going to do because you as a man told me I shouldn't do that?
Yeah.
That's dumb. I stopped doing that.
So the men that think that you crazy for doing for your wife because they won't do it.
Right. And that's when people pledge allegiance to their gender. Women do the same thing. I ain't cooking for him. I ain't cleaning for him. I ain't doing all that stuff for him because a bunch of other women told you that you shouldn't be doing it. Mm. So she's not going to do it for a man. Now, here's my thing. If that man is deserving of that, why wouldn't you do that? Mm. If that woman, like my wife, is deserving of everything I give her, why wouldn't I do it? Because men told me I shouldn't?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
I stopped doing that a long time ago. I don't pledge allegiance to anybody except myself and my spouse. And if it's business, I pledge allegiance to my business partner. Mm. I don't even let outside people tell me how I'm supposed to do business within my business. So I'm not going to let outside people tell me how I'm supposed to live within my marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't do that because a lot of times that person that you're taking that outside advice from won't show spot.
Talk about it.
So of course they're going to tell you like, oh man, you don't need to listen to them. They don't know what to do the whole time. Like say if it's, not saying this happening, but like say if it's one of your homeboys.
Mm.
You tell, oh, you doing all that for that girl, da, 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 da. And then he in her DMs, oh, he not doing that for you? Man, if it was me, I'd do it.
That's crazy. That's dope. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't got no homeboys.
No, I'm not saying you do.
But I will say this, though. I will say this, though. We as a people have to stop shaming other people for trying to protect us from what they've consistently seen other people's do, right? Yeah. We call it hate. Oh, you hating on me because I'm happy. No, that person may have never seen you happy or seen a happy relationship. So what they're seeing seems foreign. Mm-hmm. So what do people do? They get nervous. They try to protect their people. Sometimes it's not hate.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, I grew up, my dad, and I'm not talking about me personally, but some people, like, I grew up, my dad always had multiple chicks. Like, I don't trust no dude because my father always did this. So I don't trust no woman because my mom had multiple dudes.
Yeah.
Those people see other people in relationships and get concerned sometimes and be like, don't trust them.
Yeah.
You can't shame them for having that perspective based on what they saw.
Yeah.
That's why we as people have to start giving people grace. You know, stop. Everybody ain't hating. Because the truth of the matter is, you know who most people are worried about? Themselves. They not even worried about you.
Yeah.
So we have our egos thinking, they hating on me. Ain't nobody hating on you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, they worried about themselves. They may be trying to help you. They may have a fucked up way of doing it.
Yeah.
And we got to hold them accountable for that. But sometimes we got to look at ourselves and be like, could I look at this differently?
People can only respond in response to their traumas. So if I, like, just say, for instance, if I live in a magical land and every time, like, a red balloon blows up, it's fucking fire and it'll burn your face. Whereas you live in a different land and every time a red balloon blows up, it's filled with money.
Come on, keep going.
So if we experience it and seeing the same things, and every time I see this red balloon, it's fucking pain, and every time you see it, it's fucking money, I'm like, no, don't do it. It's gonna blow up. It's not my fault for coming from this traumatized landscape.
Now imagine if my balloon blows up and it's money. And I'm like, see, you was a hater the whole time. I didn't even consider the fact that you'd never seen a red balloon filled with money.
Exactly.
You've only seen it with fire. So you were trying to protect me. And because it didn't come out the way you expected, I called you a hater.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with us too.
So now I'm confused because I'm like, damn, every time what was it about him?
You see what I'm
saying? We just come from two different backgrounds.
That's why perspective and letting people speak and understanding where they're coming from is important.
Yeah.
Because you can understand impact versus intent.
Yeah. Right? Impact versus intent is very, very vital.
You see? So if I intend to do something and I impacted you the wrong way and you use discernment and you say, he didn't even intend to hurt me that way, I'm going to give him grace because it impacted me a certain way. Let me tell my brother how it impacted me. And then we have a conversation. That's growth. Mm. But if I intended to do something and I impact you the wrong way and you like, fuck that nigga, now we beefing.
Yeah.
Over something that I didn't even intend to do wrong. That's what we do as humans all the time. And social media has kind of heightened that. Mm. You aren't even allowed to say what you feel because people are going to call you a hater. The minute you don't like something they do, the minute you don't heart something they got, the minute you don't support it, rather than asking you why, they'll just call you a hater.
Yeah.
Because people feel entitled to automatically, I'm entitled to everyone's support because y'all my friends. No, that's not how the world works.
I be like that too sometimes. I ain't gonna lie.
We all are.
If I'm pushing, but it comes to a point sometimes where you will feel like it is intentional. Like,
sometimes it is.
Like if you and one of your dogs got like the same goal, but your shit took off.
Mm-hmm.
And you start feeling like that conversation starts switching a little bit. Like, you're not as happy for me as you used to be.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's up? Like, we're not having those conversations because it might ain't got shit to do with you.
You just used discernment. You just said you tried to figure out what their intent was. And once you realize that their intent wasn't in alignment with your growth, now that person is a hater. But you gotta use discernment to figure out the intent first.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing with the battle of the sexes, right? Women say... I saw a comment on social media. Should you let your wife have the final word in the decision?
How do you feel about that?
So this is my decision. This is how I feel about it. I use discernment to pick the type of woman that I can trust.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's going to happen in my house. We're going to have a conversation. If I know for a fact that my wife is better at something than me, baby, that's all you. But she also used discernment to know that, you know what, I can trust that DeVal is being, his mission is led by God.
Mm-hmm.
So if his mission is led by God and he's telling me he trusts me to make the decision, she going to make the decision.
Yeah.
But she's only going to make the decision because she trusts.
She trusts you as
she
a leader.
She trusts me as a leader. But as a leader, I know that I don't got to make every final decision.
Yeah.
That's not masculine to say that because I'm a man, even if I'm not equipped to make this decision. I'm going to make it because I got a penis. And no, part of being a leader and a man and masculinity is saying, wait a minute, there's somebody else in this room who is better equipped at this than me. My assistant is here, Kwame. He will tell you.
Yeah.
I will defer to my wife on so many things that I think she's better than me.
Yeah.
When it comes to event planning and scheduling and administrative work, I'm a creative genius. I can come up with so many ideas to market stuff and make money. But I will be like, Kwame, can you just get with Kay and have her organize this? He'll be like, Kay wants to. I said, you don't gotta ask me what Kay wants to do.
Yeah.
She gonna tell you what needs to get done, and I guarantee you it will get done the right way. And we will work in synergy. And our life has been successful because of that.
So in the Bible, is that what they call, like, men, you should submit to your wife as well? Is that submitting to your wife?
In my opinion, right? Because I'm not a theologian. So I can't sit here and talk about what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Honestly. For sure. You know what I'm saying? But I will say, when they say men submit to your wife or women submit to your husband, the first thing is you submit to a man who is submitted to God.
Uh-huh.
You can't submit to a man who hasn't submitted to God.
Yeah.
So women have to use discernment first. If you don't trust that guy is a leader and you're submitting to him, you made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Gentlemen, if you picked a wife, because the Bible does say he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Yeah.
Did you find a good thing? And if you didn't find a good thing, if you're submitting to them, then you're not listening to the message that God sent to you.
Yeah.
So it all starts with that. And I'm not a Bible bopper.
Yeah.
I don't be in my Bible every day. I'm big on spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there's a greater being that exists in this world outside of us. Because if there isn't anything more than this, I wouldn't be able to be who I am on this planet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't trust that man has control over everything. I go crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Man is fucking up.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every single day. So for me, it's like I'm listening to God. God tell me I got to listen to my wife here. I'm listening. God listens. If my wife says I got to listen, she got to listen to me, she going to listen.
Yeah.
We both are ordered by the same steps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And for me, as long as that's what I'm listening to, I don't care what the world says.
Yeah.
I am in this world. I'm not of it. People can argue all day on social media. I am not going to ever let that affect how I move in my house with my wife or my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So you said you've been married for 14 years?
14 years. We've been together 22.
Okay. So at what point did you know, like, okay, this is the one?
Shoot. 2 weeks after we started dating, she told me she loved me.
Uh-huh.
Right? I was still in that space where I was trying to smash. So I was like,
whoa. So she said I love you first.
She said I loved you first.
Mm.
So I didn't know yet.
Mm.
I was still in that place. I'm 18 years old. Like, these are beautiful women. Like, yeah. I'm in college. I'm a freshman. I'm trying to...
What college was this?
Hofstra in Long Island. You know, I went to a PWI.
Yeah.
I was a football player.
Shout out Marquise
Division
Colston.
Athlete. Yes, that's my guy. We went to school the same time. I know you're a football guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's funny is me and Marcus graduated the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we finished 1-2 in receiving yards and touchdowns. And the whole time I was dating her, like, the first year, I was unsure. I was fighting it because I was like... I'm 18. I'm supposed to be sowing my wild oats,
yeah.
Right? Everybody in the world was telling me, you got to go get more. And then it wasn't until I started to focus on what she needed, because she was focusing on what I needed, that I realized that she was the one. It was really God telling me, like, yo, you keep going out here and trying to see what else is out here. There's nothing that matches this. She matched me on every level. She was brilliant. She was funny. She was hardworking. She was nurturing. She was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even sexually, like, we had our tiffs. We're trying to figure out how we were going to match each other sexually.
Mm.
But the thing I loved the most is that she was trying.
Mm.
The same way I was trying. And when you watch someone actively try every day, you develop an even greater love. So it was like middle of our first year together. And she had anaphylactic shock because she took penicillin and it was sulfur in it.
Mm.
She didn't know she was allergic to sulfur. She got rushed to the hospital. I thought she was going to die. And in that moment, nothing else mattered to me. And that's when I realized how important she was. Because, you know, when you 19 now, and the person that you love is going through something and you don't care about anything else, you start to ask yourself, why is this so important to me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I realized there were so many things about that young lady that I loved that I couldn't live without her.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, from this point on, that she's mine. And I want to be hers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think is missing from this current generation? Because a lot of them, I'm single. It's the trenches out here. It's treacherous.
I'll say this. I think that this generation struggles because they're heavily influenced by outside noise.
Mm.
I'm 40. when I was growing up, when I wanted to hear information, I had to huddle up under my uncle, go pull my pops aside, talk to the dudes in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, kids get instant access to information every single day. People who are not vetted. Mm. You know, because my dad...
Not qualified.
Not qualified at all. Mm. And their parents aren't telling them. So it's like when I was growing up, my dad was like, don't talk to him. He a bad dude. Yo, you can rock with him. My dad brought men around me that he trusted. Mm. So I had a brain trust that could help me develop into the man I am.
Community around.
Community.
Me. Yeah.
Does community exist anymore in these day and age?
Nah.
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 I got four sons. I don't know most of my neighbors. I don't. Because yeah. people stay in their house. They stay online. They stay in their phone.
Yeah.
And if you have an issue, it's like, don't talk to my kids. So those people are growing up with a linear idea of how the world is. And when you set your phone up, the algorithm is going to continuously...
Confirmation bias.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everything you believe is going to constantly go to your phone. So now you view the world one way. So now if you a guy who likes to listen to podcasts that destroy women and disrespect women, they're going to continuously send you podcasts to keep you engaged on that phone. That's how they keep money coming in their pockets.
Mm, yeah.
So now you're listening and listening. All you think is the whole world's listening to the same thing you're listening to. When the fact of the matter is, you're the only person on that phone listening to those messages.
You're the only one got the balloons filled with the red fire.
It took me months to find out what those jokes was. My boys was like, yo, you ain't see the red balloon shit? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because that's not in my algorithm.
Yeah.
If you look at my algorithm, it's sports, it's finances, it's houses, it's cars, it's women.
Yeah.
But I don't do the disrespecting of women. I don't look at that stuff often. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what the red balloon thing was until it made it to my group chat. And I was like, yo, people really doing this.
I would never sign up for no goofy shit like that. Why am I gonna let you publicly like demean me? Why would I even open myself up to that? You make me the butt of your joke? Fuck you. Fuck you.
I think that I don't even know what to call it. I mean,
clout chasing.
It is.
Yeah.
But those are a bunch of content creators looking for a quick viral moment.
Yeah.
Those aren't really people looking for relationships.
Absolutely.
If we be honest, those people standing in line with the balloons are just looking for an opportunity to clown someone else so they can make people laugh and get followers.
Yeah.
No one in there, or for the most part from what I've seen, is really trying to find someone.
Yeah, I think it's called like engagement farming.
It's
kind of like when the streamers get on the stream and say something or react to something overt.
Smart.
Yeah, it's like it's for the people that's involved in it's great. Like everybody, they're acting. It's
absolutely.
that's a form of acting.
You a sports guy? Skip Bayless.
Yeah,
made his whole career off of hot takes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He was
responding
never...
outrageously, getting oh, it's my turn.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really look at content, that's what it's become.
Yeah.
Because he who has the engagement has the power.
Yeah, so it's almost like if you want to get in, if you just want to get in and talk and do the regular thing, you almost at a disadvantage. Like, sure, your content is a little bit more pure, but people ain't getting online to see that.
You're right, there is a disadvantage. I'm not even going to lie to you. But there is longevity.
Oh, 100%. I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
And value.
Because there's people that's popping now, or that was popping last year, that may be popping this last year and this year,
mm-hmm.
but you don't hear about them no more.
You see?
That's every time I see people try, it's almost like you want to take the shortcut.
Yeah.
Yes, you got 500,000 views in a day. Great. Mm-hmm. But that's all you're going to get.
That's all you got. That's all you got. You know who told me about that? 50 Cent. Mm. Every time I do an interview, I always give 50 Cent his props. I was doing Power, and I was a stunt double for Amari Hardwick. Mm. Ran into 50. We were just talking one thing to the next. I was like, yo, I got some content. I showed him the family content. At the time, I had 3,000 followers. He said to me verbatim, he said, yo, this shit is dope. You need to keep doing it. And I was like, I'm not really getting that much engagement. He said, don't worry about that. He was like, keep dropping videos. All it takes is one video to go viral. Then everybody's going to see that video. They're going to come to your page, see the catalog of content, and people are going to follow and then share, because you're not just a one-trick pony that happened to have lightning strike in the bottle.
Yeah.
So said, bro, so done. I had a video of me and my wife go viral when she had just given birth to my second son. And I went from 3,000 to 20,000. After that day, all of my old videos that had 400 views, 37, I'm like, this video got 150,000 views.
Yeah.
50 Cent was right about consistency.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot more content creators need to understand. You may have a year where you don't go viral.
Yeah.
But then you have that year when you do.
Yeah, I tell everybody that want to do this, this shit didn't take off to like episode. Like, we had some viral moments.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we had some viral moments like within the first 5 to 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. But it didn't like really start seeing life-changing success mm-hmm. until like maybe episode 80.
See?
So that's 80 weeks.
You said 80, bro.
Yeah.
80, that's a year and a half.
Yeah.
That to me, I mean, they say it takes 10 years to become an overnight celebrity. Mm. We've been doing our podcast for 6 years.
Oh, well, I mean, if we're going off that, I mean, I started doing media in 2012.
Okay, you see what I'm saying?
It was a lot of, okay, we're going to try this. Let's do a name change. Let's do a look change.
Right.
Like, everything has to match, right?
Yes.
And honestly, this is a crazy... like moment of self-realization that I had just last night. I be on edibles crazy, but
I smoke, so I get it.
Yeah. You know, you have the amazing ideas.
Yes,
late at night, right?
Yeah.
So last night, you know, the big thing right now on social media is people like getting over the Blue Sky, the new social media app. And I'm like, damn, the Blue Sky. It's like a new Twitter.
See, I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
That
same. So I'm seeing all these people excited posting their shit. Oh, I'm on Blue Sky now. Blue Sky. Like, what is it about me that doesn't give a fuck about getting on another social media app? But then I realized I don't like social media.
How old are you? I was going to ask you.
I'm 34.
Okay, that's why.
I'm on social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, barely on Facebook. But I'm on these sites to promote myself.
Absolutely.
There have been times where I just, man, fuck this shit. I don't want to be on social media.
But when you first got on social media, it wasn't to promote yourself. See, your life has changed. I first got on social media in 2004 when it first started. Mm. When it was the Facebook and you had to have an EDU to even register.
Yeah.
It was exciting because I was like, I can catch up with all my friends from middle school that I haven't seen now that I'm in college.
Yeah.
Then it became a full medium where people could make money. They started running ads and then it became political at one point. Mm. The social media we grew up loving is
MySpace.
Not what it is today. MySpace. Yeah. You see AOL Instant Messenger.
What was it? Tagged. I was on Tag too. And and that was just on like
Black
man,
Planet.
I was on MySpace to because all my high school friends was on it. And it was more like just socializing.
Yes.
Like, you know, did you see a fine ass chick on MySpace? You get that friend request.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
yo,
shit. You got new photo comments, new friend requests.
Yes.
New wall comments.
Yes.
That's different versus now it's like,
it's a job.
I gotta post at 9 a.m. on the dot. I gotta use these hashtags. I gotta use these SEO words. I gotta, like, that's really why I don't like posting on Facebook. Like, God, I'm ready for TikTok to be gone.
It's a job.
Please take TikTok. Please take fucking TikTok. I'm ready for this shit to be over because it's work.
Social media was never created for the people who have full-time jobs and working. It was created for students and people who had time. That's why every time a new social media platform comes out, it's always run by the youngest people in the country.
Yeah.
Think about it. When Instagram first came out, they was like, Facebook is for the old heads. When Twitter came out, it was just like, oh, Twitter's new. That's for the old heads. Now, TikTok is for the new kids.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff is for the old heads. This Blue Sky, I guess, is going to be for the Gen Alphas.
Yeah.
And they're going to look at TikTok like it's for the old heads.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not in the game or in that race to be on every platform.
I don't need
to
be.
I'm just not.
I don't need to be. And honestly, like, man, if I, like, once I get my career to a point where I don't need it, I'm not going to be on it.
Yeah.
Like, once I hit the, like, the producer backstage role,
yeah,
I'm cool. Like,
yeah,
I don't need people to talk about or have an opinion on my fucking opinion. And what's crazy, I'm great at social media. I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I need to be on every social media app. I don't need to have a presence here. I'm cool.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I also feel like you know your audience in each platform. Like,
yeah,
I know you're aware Facebook's audience is completely different than Twitter.
Absolutely.
Is completely different than X.
Yeah.
As long as you are truthful to your audience and deliver the type of content that they're looking for on that platform, you don't need every single one. Because me personally, I'm not looking for Gen Alpha. I'm not even looking for Gen Z. Like, that's not my audience. I'm not looking to convert y'all to be my people. Mm. If you happen to see something that I'm doing that you like and you want to follow, cool. But I know my people are the people between 25 and 45.
Mm.
And most of those people on Instagram and Facebook. So I'm going to rock out with that for the next couple years, build some other mediums, and try to grow that way. But I'm not trying to keep up with all the social media. So if I don't got time or energy, I almost had a stroke trying to learn TikTok dances.
Oh, no.
Man, it should be a lot, man. You just up foot, left, right. I'm like, what song is this? Hell
and
no.
And then sometimes it's like you want to put out the content that is appealing. And sometimes you just want to put some shit out. Like, I'm at the point now, I'm just about to start recording my videos, put a little music under it, send.
See, let me tell you something. I used to do highly produced videos.
Yeah.
When I stopped doing highly produced videos and just started going like this and talking, my engagement went up. Mm. Because I noticed that people want authenticity. Influencer marketing has created a space in social media where people don't believe what they see on social media no more.
Yeah.
So if you market yourself as an influencer, people kind of, you know.
Oh, you're trying to sell me something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You start picking that phone up and talking to people without asking them to buy anything, I guarantee your engagement goes up because they're like, he's just talking to me. Yeah. He's not asking for anything. That's been my motto.
Yeah.
My motto has been like, yo, I'm not going to do high produced stuff anymore. At one point I was, because I'm not going to lie. I'm watching the guys in front of me. I'm like, this is Kevin Hart. This is The Rock. This is Will Smith. They're doing this type of content. And I was like, I got to do the same thing to match. If that's the level I want to get to, then you start realizing, you know what? You can't put the cart in front of the horse.
You can't.
Those men have gotten to a level where they can do highly produced content. I'm nowhere near that level yet. Let me build my audience. When I focused on doing that, it was just organic to me and who I wanted to be rather than trying to be somebody else.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. That organic content. And it has to be things that speak to you as a person. Like,
yes.
People want to see your personality.
Yes.
Like, when I do consultations with other influencers that may want to kind of try to hop in this lane, I'm like, you don't have to, like, have a crazy setup. You don't need a studio.
You know,
the most you need is probably a ring light and a clean room.
You actually tell the truth, because that's what Shannon Sharp started with.
Yeah.
People don't know that. He started on YouTube, I think it was 2016. I saw his first little vlog he did. He was in his house talking about sports.
Yeah.
And then from there, he was just building. And then he had got the deal with Fox and Skip Bayless. And now he got Club Shay Shay. But that started almost 8 years ago.
Yeah. But now we're in a space to where, like, if it don't pop off in the first 6 months.
Oh, they quit.
Out of here.
They quit. But that's not just social media. That's just jobs.
Yeah.
You know how many college graduates are graduating from college and just moving back home with their parents? Because they're like, I'm not working for that. That takes too long. It's like, I get it.
I was just talking to somebody yesterday. Said they graduate in a few weeks. They said the same thing.
Well, I'm not going to be this person, but I will be this person.
We need you to be that person. Be that person.
I've been saying this for years. I've been saying this to my kids, right? I think college is a scam.
Mm.
I do. If you look at the millionaires in this country over the past 5 decades, most of them built it starting with a trade. I started making my millions with a trade, not even with my college degree.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at people now, more people are opting out of going to college and racking up school debt and getting a trade and starting a business. For example, a young man that graduated from college in 2016, I don't want to say his name because these are people that I don't want to go look up, but his friends went on to play college football. Mm-hmm. A couple of them walked on to junior college. His father said, you're not going to play football. You're going to get into the steel field. He's like, steel? I don't even want to do steel. He said, I'm in steel. I'm going to get you in for the next 2 years. You're going to get all your certifications. When he turned 20, he was making $230 an hour in New York City because he was licensed to do steel, but his father got him in, and he was working as a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So he was licensed, and he was in the union. They don't let black people in the union early, but his dad was there. So you know what he did? He did the same thing LeBron did. I'm going to get my son on.
Nepo the man.
You see what I'm saying? And the problem is black people look bad at nepotism.
Ah, man. We.
When the truth is this country was built off of nepotism.
Nepotism is a word. Yeah, like people get mad when you say LeBron did it with his son. But it's a definition.
Yes.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not
just
bad.
What
you're
it
supposed
is.
To do it.
I put all of this work in and I help make all of these buildings for all of these companies. If I'm LeBron, if it's Nike, NBA, the game, he built billions,
anything,
all these people.
Anything LeBron touches.
My son is going to come get a job here, and I'm not asking questions because I watched it in the NFL. I was in the NFL for 4 years. I watched all of these GAs, all of these peoples with so-and-so's son. And I'm like, yo, you 19 and you work in the front office?
Look at the Cowboys.
Come on.
Look at the Cowboys
come
front
on.
Office. Everybody's last name
come,
is Jones.
Jones. It's people, the same thing as the
people
Lions.
People don't know Bill Belichick. He got his son.
Andy Reid got his son at the Chiefs.
And his son was drinking.
His son killed somebody. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
And
we mad at LeBron?
And that, to me, that's why I don't get so caught up in the social media hyperbole. Because if you out here in the world and you see what's going on, you realize that LeBron isn't doing anything wrong.
No.
He's not.
You're supposed to do that.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I'm be honest, man. If he didn't do that, I probably would look at him different. Like, damn. Because if LeBron didn't do it, who else?
Who's going to do it? Right. Who's going to? And to be honest, this is just me being an AAU dad now because my son plays basketball and football. if my son is going to develop, I don't want to have to send him to a university where they're going to make money off of my son. Nah, bring him to the Lakers. He can develop in the G League and make $7 million a year rather than make a university money. Because let's be real when it comes to these universities. These universities outside of HBCUs weren't created for us. Mm. They were created for rich white people's kids to have a place to go to commune, learn, and then get into network, get into middle management as soon as they graduate.
Yeah.
Then they sold black people the dream. Y'all could do the same thing, right? Here's the big difference between us and them. When our kids graduate with high degrees and all this other stuff, there's nobody in those companies that look like them that can pull them into middle management. So now our kids are graduating with $100,000+ in debt, and then they tell you, well, you gotta start at the bottom, making $45,000 a year. It's like, wait a minute. I got 2 master's degrees and a PhD. I'm qualified to do this. Oh, you're overqualified. You got to start at the bottom and get some work experience so that we can pay you that. So now you got these kids and they 6 months in and they're like, yo, I'm at this job making $45,000, but I got debt. So they're like, I'm not doing this. They quitting.
Yeah.
And when you really look at the history of colleges and stuff, it was never made for us to go there. Mm. We made our money on trades. We were barbers, plumbers, electricians.
You mean black people.
I mean black people.
Yeah.
If we talk about who really built this country, black people built this country. The reason why they brought Africans over here was because the Europeans did not know how to cultivate the land. Mm. That is a fact, right?
Agriculture.
Black people and the natives taught the Europeans how to cultivate the land. Black people created 90% of the inventions in America because we were the ones that had to do the work.
Yeah.
So we are the most qualified to say that this is our country. Mm. But now you got colleges and black people are like, yo, I'm tired of doing hard labor. I want to stand up there and point around like everybody else.
Yeah.
But our kids don't have the same advantages because their parents don't own these companies to pull them up and say, hey, you can sit on the board while you learn. No, they're telling our kids you can sit at the bottom and make a little bit of money and learn. Mm. And even while you're learning, they're going to always skip you with their kids. Right? And I'm gonna be honest again. If I was them, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta stop having the conversation where we're expecting them to say, you know what? No.
Oh, this is not fair.
Yeah. They're never gonna do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking anymore. That's why I rock with like a Tyler Perry.
Yeah. You gotta create your own.
Absolutely.
That's how this was created, Big Homie's House.
You see?
I work for I had my dream radio job before I got here, but I wasn't like, I had a position I'm in now. I was doing board ops. I was working overnight. It was an expendable position, right? Worked for a few months at TMZ, right? So I'm doing all this content for other people.
Right.
It's not mine. I don't have a chance to get to tell the story. I don't get the chance to tell the story that I want to tell.
Absolutely.
I got to tell TMZ's story. And once those, like, I got fired, both of those jobs. You know, the second time it was a firing, but it was like, you know how you stop going to work and you just wait.
You just said, man, fire me.
You just wait.
Because I quit last week.
You just wait. But then the sweet shit about TMZ was, no, they can't take the money back. Fuck it. Like, the way it was set up, we clocked it. Like, since I was in Atlanta by myself,
yeah.
I didn't have to go to an office.
Oh, so you clocked in?
I just clocked in.
Yeah.
Just chilling for like a week or two.
I ain't mad at it.
Two weeks went by. You know what?
It's just like Denzel said, I'm leaving here with something.
I'm leaving here with something. But those situations happened, and it was like, you know, I've been telling stories for other people with nothing to show for it. So, shit, I'm about to tell my own stories. Big Homie's House.
Let me tell you, Kodak, bro. That is probably the best thing you can tell people on this podcast is how you stop creating for other people and did it for yourself.
Yeah.
Because so many people that look like us don't even think that that's possible. But they listen to you every week, but they still can't fathom it. You have to consistently say it, and they have to consistently see examples in order to believe that I can do this too.
Yeah.
So many people. My wife worked as a makeup artist at MAC Cosmetics for 2 years. And I said, yo, you need to leave that. She's like, that's my consistent money. I said, you do all the women's makeup. Learn how to develop your own contracts, develop your own name, get your own LLC. All of those clients you have are your clients. But what happens is you ask them to meet you at MAC. They pay MAC, and MAC pays you an hourly rate. And then she was just like, I said, why are you supporting Nate Dream, baby? And she was just like, well, I can't because we need insurance. I said, the minute I become SAG eligible and I can get insurance, quit that fucking job. And she did. And she made 4 times more money doing it herself. But it was difficult. Because she had to learn the administrative aspect, understand the lawyer fee. Like, it costs money, but it also costs time to learn that aspect of it to own your own business.
Yeah.
Those are things that you know.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? What we do on our podcast, we talk about all that stuff. So if there's someone listening, we get about 175,000 downloads every week on each podcast. Mm-hmm. My thing is, if I can get 10% of those people to be like, you know what? I'm going to get my own LLC.
Yeah.
I'm going to start putting my money aside so that I can do my own thing. Then we winning, because that's how we can nation build.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this whole idea that black people have to integrate or at most play along with everyone else in order to get our own is a fallacy. That's not real. Mm. We don't have to. Tyler Perry proved that. His audience is all black people, mm-hmm. right? And he built his audience on black people telling stories about black people. Now he's on Netflix and his audience is no longer just black people, mm-hmm. but he built it with black people. That's why he's never celebrated in Hollywood. I'll tell you another reason why he's never celebrated in Hollywood. I've made more money with Tyler Perry than I ever made in the NFL. He also taught me how to make more money than I ever learned in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's teaching me how to nation build. He told me to own everything I got. Any deals I do that have anything to do with his company or his business, he says to me personally, do not walk out of there without ownership or part ownership. And this is his company.
Yeah.
But what happens is a lot of people get out here and talk about his content, not understanding that he's been building a bigger ideology for a lot of young creatives. Mm-hmm. And people don't see that.
Well, sometimes the change is scary for a lot of people. And I feel like as creatives, we just have completely different brains.
Absolutely.
Like I think the makeup Absolutely. Of our medulla oblongata
is very different.
Are very different because yes. whereas people, you have to be some level of psychotic to see nothing.
Absolutely.
To physically see nothing, but see something.
Absolutely.
Something is there. Like if you create a movie, you create something from mm-hmm. scratch. This shit didn't exist before. What the fuck did you think about this shit?
That's why I believe in God. Let me ask you a question though. How could I envision something that I've never seen before? That means it's happened somewhere and someone had to put that vision in my brain.
Yeah.
I can't sit up here and be like, I imagined a whole movie if I never saw it. Someone gave me a vision. That someone is God.
Yeah.
And if people recognize that and stop ignoring the visions they get, they would live better lives. A lot of times, we ignore the visions and we say it's fake. I just saw a vision that I could open up my own spot. That shit ain't never gonna happen. How many times you heard somebody say that? Or someone say out loud, like, I think I wanna do my thing. And then all their friends be like, man, that shit ain't gonna never work. That ain't gonna never work. I went through that.
Yeah.
When I retired from the NFL, I was working at a place called Parisi Speed School. The owner wanted me there because I was NFL guy. People came in to train with me. And I was like, I don't want to do this full time. I want to do movies. He said to me, man, you ain't going to never do movies, man. People start doing that shit when they're young. You need to focus on this. Why did he tell me that?
That's his perspective.
That's his perspective. But also, he wanted me to work for him.
Mm, yeah.
If I leave to do movies, what happens to this gym?
Yeah.
And when I left, you know what happened to the gym? It closed.
Wow.
Closed. Look up Parisi Speed School on Victory Boulevard in Staten Island. Mm. I left in 2012. It closed in 2014.
Wow.
Same man told me I could never do movies. I'm not going to shout his name out because I'm not even going to give him that type of love.
Yeah.
But when I tell you it hurt my soul, like I went home to my wife. I'm 27 at the time. I'm working in Staten Island paying all this money to go out there and train these kids. And she's like, what's the matter with you? And I was like, nothing. She's like, I can tell something's wrong. And I was like, nothing, man. I was just, you know, talking about my dreams. I live out loud. People say to me, why you share so much? I live out loud.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to live. I'll share with anybody. A bum on the street. Let me tell you what I'm working on. Because to me, words have power. You speak it into existence. I shared it with the guy. And he like laughed. Like scoffed. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And that shit hurt my feelings. And when I tell you I got so enraged.
Yeah.
That's why I was ready to leave. But it also gave me fire. The same people when I told them I was going to walk on to play football. Because I was a basketball player, they laughed, they scoffed. And I was like, oh, you don't think that I can do this? Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. When I opened all my businesses has been like that. So I look at those visions as a sign from God. Can't nobody talk me out of what God already showed me.
Yeah.
You can tell me 1,000 times, that ain't gonna never happen. Okay, I don't need you to believe.
When you look at history, throughout the course of history, like name anything amazing that's happened, like in the course of the last like 100 years.
Natural disasters or just from a
person? From people. Like things that humans have done.
I'm going to bring this up because I think it's one of the most amazing things, but LeBron James came back from 3-1. And I'm a Warriors fan.
Exactly.
But that shit was amazing.
Exactly. Now, imagine if LeBron James had somebody in his ear in that locker room. Like, this shit over with.
Uh-huh.
This shit over. We about to hit the club. Uh-huh. Shit,
talk about it.
Imagine if LeBron James had somebody in his ear, because that shit is poison.
They'd have lost in
six. Because I don't even like them type of folks around me. Nope. Like, don't bring me no negative shit.
Absolutely.
This shit might be true. I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it, right. And the thing is, it ain't true until it happens.
Yeah.
So there has to be a delusional quality that all successful people have. Like, you have to believe in yourself and see things that other people can't see in order to become successful. Will Smith went bankrupt in his second album, right? Went through the Fresh Prince. Jay-Z went to every label, and they turned him down, said, I don't see it.
Yeah.
And then started Rockefeller, right? Mayweather started his own promotion company. All of these people were told, you ain't gonna never make it. Kevin Hart. Soul Plane flopped. He had a sitcom on NBC. It got canceled after 6 episodes. They told him, give it up. Now look.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can name a bunch of stuff. Even with what's his name? The Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock got cut from his CFL team. Had $7 in his pocket. That's how they came up with $7 production.
Yeah.
They told him he wasn't going to be nothing. Now look at him.
Final Boss.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, these are the things and the reasons why can't nobody tell me God don't exist.
Yeah.
Because those gentlemen don't make it without God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it ain't just them. Issa Rae, Quinta Brunson. Like, these are other creatives who had a vision on their own. Issa Rae started Awkward Black Girl and was doing YouTube videos.
And creatives are mocked so heavily in the early stages, too.
Yes.
They're mocked so heavily. Like, oh, look at this person. They're trying to do something. Yes. How are you...
Yes.
You on their head because they're trying to do something?
Yes. Yes. Those who can't talk about those who try.
Yeah.
That is a fact. Because their own fear is that if I try and I fail, everybody gonna laugh at me. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna enjoy the group of people who are laughing that other people try because it's safe. I got a collective now. Look at Kodak trying. Look at Kodak trying. Meanwhile, that person got things in their heart they want to try. But they don't want to fail. So it's the defense mechanism. You know what I'm saying? It masks their fear. That's all that is. I don't take that personal neither.
Yeah. I do take it personal, though, if I'm the nigga that was trying and when it worked, now you want to slick. Hey, man, this shit took effort. You mad at me because I was willing to take the risk? Shit, you know how many times a nigga had to, it was eating noodles and chicken quarters?
I feel you. I'm not mad at you for that. Don't hate on me now that I've been working my ass
off
for years.
Don't hate because you could have did the same thing.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
Like, you could have did fair. The same. You could have took the same risk that I'm taking.
Could they have, though? They could never have. You don't know why?
It's not in their heart.
They don't got in them what you got in you.
Yeah.
You said it. An entrepreneur jumps out the plane and makes a parachute on his way down.
Yeah.
The rest of everybody's like, there ain't no parachutes. I'm not jumping. But I'm going to laugh at Kodak because Kodak just jumped. And then when you land.
But that's a figurative. It's a figurative explanation of the things that actually happened.
Yes.
Because I was teaching in 2021.
Okay.
I was teaching. It was after I had got fired from TMZ and my first radio job.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, I need some money coming in.
Facts.
And I'm like, you know, my mom's a teacher. She hooked me up with a teaching job real quick.
Nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism. Yeah. So I'm like, while I'm teaching, I'm like, this shit ain't for me. I need to figure some shit out. So that was like fall 2019. We heading into 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I start my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I start my podcast in 2020. It go crazy the whole spring, whole summer, fall. Like, that's like we going weeks in. Now they starting to see me on a few blogs in the
there
school. And the conversation starts getting a little different.
There you go.
But heading into 2020, end of 2020, top of 2021, shit has picked up so much momentum. And the other projects I'm working on are taking off. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave this motherfucker.
Yeah, fuck these kids. That's what you were saying. Yeah. Man, fuck them kids.
I love the kids, but shit, not that much. I was working with the special ed kids.
I get
too,
it.
So it was like, I ain't too many times you're going to be throwing up and throwing shit on me.
I get it, bro.
But when I quit, I didn't have this shit lined up.
Yeah.
There was nothing lined up. I was living off cryptocurrency that I made during the pandemic.
But there was something in you that said, I can do this.
It was in me, and it was the idea that I'm going to figure this shit out. I'm not going I'm not gonna fail.
How did you get that confidence?
Religious.
I come from a praying mother. Where does it always come back to?
Yeah.
God. You have faith. And it's not like I got faith in this supreme being who's gonna give me everything. You have faith that if you work hard enough, that you will get everything you want out of life. That's because God exists in you. God don't exist out here pulling strings. God, there's a God in everybody here. This is why when people say, when rappers say stuff like Nas, I'm God's son, Jehovah, Kanye calls himself Jesus. Mm. All successful people believe that there is a level of God that exists in them that makes them unstoppable to man. I believe the same thing. I believe the same thing, but I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm Jesus, but I believe so hard that
it's
God is in me.
It's yes, piece of him.
There's a piece of God in me that can't no man ever stop me from doing what you got the same thing. That's why you left the school and was just like, this don't feel right. There's something bigger I got to do. When you have that faith, that foundation, there's nothing on the world that can stop you. Yeah. And that should be your message to everyone. That's going to be mine.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you live like DeVal.
You can't. Because it worked for me.
It ain't going to work for you.
It's not. But and even when I quit in March. Like, it was like between March 11th and March 13th. I got the radio, we started having conversations with the radio shit in August. So, like, for a few months, I'm just like, shit, I got to figure this shit out. I just got to go hard. And had the job offer December 13th for iHeart.
That's from March to December.
From March, quit in March.
Look at that.
And by the time December came around, of course, we've been having meetings before then, but like officially, I am getting paid December 13th.
Look at that. And if you never would have quit and put all your energy in for those 9 months without knowing what's going to happen, you would have never got that order, that offer. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the old adage. I think Steve Harvey said it. He always said he wanted a new car, but he kept his old car in the driveway. And it wasn't until his father, I think, said to him, like, if you really want a new car, you'll get rid of that old one. And the minute he got rid of the old one, it created space for the new one.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with things in your life. You got to create space for them. If you keep holding on to the old things, you can't create space for what God has for you. And I know this became super religious, and I'm not even super religious.
I don't think it's religious.
It's my belief,
I do think it's just you speaking on the things that have worked for you in your life. Because I'm the same way. Like, I'm somebody who knows where my blessings come from. Like, at the end of all our shows, we got something called the homieism. So the homieism is essentially a Bible verse.
Okay.
So something that whatever I'm thinking about, if I know somebody going through something, if I know about a situation going on in the city, I would dedicate a Bible verse to that situation. So that's not me just trying to push a religion.
Man.
It's me letting people know that I'm in this position because of one entity.
That's it.
I'm not telling you. You got to listen to what I'm doing.
There you go.
If you want to,
come on,
listen.
Come on.
I'm just letting you know this shit worked for me.
But that's the perspective that makes your podcast so lovable, because you're also not judging people, you're not condemning people, you're not shaming people. You're saying this worked for me. That's the same thing I do. Like, we wrote the book, we got the podcast. I've never said if you don't live like me, you going to hell, or if you don't live like me, you ain't gonna be successful. This worked for me. Hopefully you find what works for you, but the only way you're going to find what works for you is if you continue to listen to the person inside of you. That's God.
Yeah.
That's my whole message for everything. It's my message for relationships, too.
Yeah.
People ask, what'd you do to get your wife to be able to do nothing? I said, first of all, I could never tell you what you have to do to get your wife to do what you want your wife to do. That's not my ministry. I can tell you, you need to listen to your wife, and your wife needs to listen to you, and y'all both need to listen to God and figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the only way y'all could be successful. And I'm going to die on that hill. Can't nobody argue me or debate me out of that. That's what I believe, and that's what I'm going to believe until I'm gone.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're definitely, definitely right about that. Now, what do you, since you're married, what do you think is some of the differences between how women and their friend group interact versus men and their friend groups? Because there's a lot of things that I see online about, women. Like, I just saw a video of a woman saying that she made all her friends get braids for their girls' trip. And I'm like, ain't no way in hell.
We all go together.
A nigga going to be like, yeah, bro, we're getting dressed for the trip. Nah. We're going out of town.
I would say this. Men and women are socialized differently. So how we behave within our friend group are going to be different, right? For example, growing up, it was okay for a young girl to sit on another young girl's lap if there was no space. Do that with two boys. What they say, man, you better get your ass up. So it's like we're conditioned differently. Yeah. We're socialized differently. So we're going to maneuver differently. We tell men, you know, go out there, sow your wild oats. We tell women to be virtuous. Mm. So it's literally the opposite.
Yeah.
The opposite. So, of course, women go on different trips and they expect to do different things or want to do different things. I can't speak for all women because, like I said before, if I dated 365 women this year, I still wouldn't know enough about women to give an educated example. Mm. But I can definitely say, looking at how we all grew up, girls grew up different than boys. Mm. And because of that, when we become men, we have to understand that women think differently than us.
Yeah.
And if you don't walk into it with that open mind, you a sucker.
Yeah.
Because now you're looking for a woman who thinks like you when she wasn't conditioned like you. Like, and there are some women who are conditioned like men.
But we have to, I feel like we're all at an age where we can say, you know what, that's a double standard I'm cool with.
Yeah, I
don't have a problem with that double standard.
Everybody's cool with a double standard that puts them at the advantage. Everybody. Of course. Men are, women are. We only complain when the double standard don't fit the narrative that makes us be better.
Exactly.
That's all that is.
Exactly. Like, but I've seen some women want it, the advantage of the double standards. Like when it comes to like, maybe they want to sow their wild oats.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, men do it. Well, you're not supposed to act like the nigga.
Right.
That's not your role.
Right.
That's not your role. And men sometimes will want to, I guess, be catered to a little bit more. It's like, bro, no, that's not you.
I agree with you. This is where it becomes problematic, right? When we say stuff like that's not your role, it puts everybody in one group, you know? And I will say this, not all women are created equal, right?
For sure.
Some women are not made to be submissive to a man because some women are so exceptional in their own right that they don't need to be, right? There's some women
Hold up now. What do you mean?
This is what I'm saying. We can't tell people how to live based on the foundations and the morals in which we
societal standards.
We can't do that. Right. Say you meet a woman who is not from America. Say you meet a woman that's from another part of the world that we've never even heard of. And in their world, women are the ones who make the decisions and women do that stuff. You cannot then tell that woman that how she's been living is wrong. This goes back to what we started out in the beginning.
Yeah.
We have to be open enough as people to understand that everybody's walk of life deserves the same amount of respect as yours. So when someone gives you an example of how they live, rather than shun them or say something disparaging about them, listen and understand why you think like that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say that is because every man I know ain't a king.
That's true.
Every man I know don't deserve to be a father.
You don't need nobody to submit to you, sir. You really need to...
You see what I'm saying?
You need to find something else to do.
So think about how I sound. Right? In sound mind and body, telling a dude that hasn't first submitted to God or himself to know where his messages are coming from, telling him you need to find a woman to submit to you, I'm creating a bad habit right there.
Creating a fucking monster.
You see what I'm saying? Now, same thing for women. You got a woman who, every woman is not a queen.
Yeah.
What if you got a woman who just doesn't respect anybody? She's mean. She's angry. She's been through a lot in her life. Maybe her father was abusive to her.
Mm.
Maybe her mother allowed other men to be abusive to her.
Mm.
So she's not in a position to be a queen right now because she's gone through so much trauma that she doesn't even know how to accept the king. Right? I can't tell this woman like, well, you are forever not deserving of a man.
Yeah.
She has to go through her own battle and her own trials and tribulations through life to find a man that's going to accept her.
Yeah.
That may not be me, that may not be you, but there may be somebody there. And what we do is when we dispose people who don't fall in line with our morals or judgment, we've limited ourselves.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about
it. But I feel like if you are going through all of these things, mm-hmm. then it's not on me to date your traumas.
It's not.
Like, so if I recognize that you are somebody who is damaged, let's call it what it is. You're damaged. Like, you've gone through a lot of shit. I feel like I went through this situation earlier this year. Like,
okay.
You got way too much shit going on.
And what did you do, though? Did you walk away or did you try to change her?
At that point, I showed her that there was another option.
Okay.
And when I felt like that approach didn't work, I just dropped it.
And here's the truth. You're not wrong for that. It may not have been her time in her life to receive that message from you. That don't make her a bad person. Her time is going to come where she's going to receive the right message from the right person.
Yeah.
And if she uses discernment, she'll be able to find her person. But if she don't, it ain't up to everybody else to call her the worst woman in the world or call a man who is not living in alignment with everybody else the worst man in the world. That's not our place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's for God and for that person to figure out on their own.
Yeah.
We as a human race have to stop doing that to people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my biggest thing. Like, I don't look at anybody and think that anybody is beyond reproach, number one, because mm-hmm. everybody can learn from something. But I also don't think that anyone is beyond healing and beyond learning.
Yep. So let's talk about this movie.
Yes.
Meet Me Next Christmas.
Yes.
So what is the, can you give us a little bit info on like the plot and the synopsis of this?
So
really the themes of the movie.
So without giving too much away, we run into a young lady named Layla. She meets a young man named James at the airport. And in this chance interaction, they realize they have chemistry.
Mm.
And when they realize they have chemistry, he shoots a shot. He said, hey, typically, if two people like us find chemistry in this airport, we would say this is something we should capitalize on. But Layla's like, I got a boyfriend.
Wow.
So he's just like, I tell you like this. I'm not going to walk away from this. But a year from now, if you don't have a boyfriend and I don't have a girlfriend, we'll meet up at the Pentatonics concert. So she goes, okay, kind of like disregarding him, like, whatever, I got a boyfriend, I'm not listening to you. She goes back home, finds out her boyfriend is cheating on her. And she's like, wait a minute, this is a sign. This is a sign. My boyfriend's cheating on me. I'm supposed to be with James. So now she's looking for a Pentatonics ticket to go meet James. She can't find one. So she goes to a concierge service where she meets Teddy, which is the character I play.
Oh, no.
And we go on a search for her to find this Pentatonics ticket so that she can find the love of her life. And we go on this journey, and then we find out at the end, does she find the love of her life, or was the love of her life helping her look for this ticket the entire time?
Wow, that's
and that's
heavy.
It's funny. We talked about faith.
Yeah.
We talked about fate. We talked about visions. And
yeah.
All of that is in this same movie, and it's hilarious. It's sexy. Like we talked about, Christina Milian is
a baddie. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And me and Kofi, I'm not gonna call myself a baddie, but you know what I'm saying. I made a couple lists. You know what I'm saying? Kofi made a couple lists. You know what I'm saying? I will also point this out. This is the first Christmas movie with an all-black cast.
Yeah.
On the poster was three black people, me, Kofi, and Christina Milian. We were number one in 79 countries.
That's big.
And did not have to change the poster to include anybody outside of our race.
That's big.
When I tell you I'm so excited about that, because people watched the film and they didn't feel like it was a black Christmas film.
Yeah.
Because it's not. It's a really good rom-com that just so happens to take place in Christmas with black people.
Yeah, I like that.
It's dope.
I like that. It's dope. So, Netflix.
Yes, on Netflix. Still number one on Netflix, baby.
Big. Okay. Listen, man, appreciate you coming and kicking with the homie, having a conversation. It was a good conversation. But before we go, I got one more question before we get up out of here. So, with somebody, like, just say the fictional story that was in this movie, Meet Me Next Christmas.
Yes.
So, a woman that fine gonna have other options.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like the finer a woman is, the harder she is to date?
Nope. I don't find that. Because I'm not looking for a fine woman. Mm. I'm looking for a woman who has sense of self. My wife is the finest woman I ever seen in my life. She hourglass shape, long dark hair, beautiful features, perfect teeth. She she got everything.
Yeah.
She's never been difficult to date. Because she's never tried to be more than what she wants to be.
Yeah.
She doesn't walk around here saying, I'm beautiful, I can be with everybody. She's always said, I want to be with you. When a woman has a sense of self and she knows what she wants, you don't got to compete with anybody else.
Mm.
You find a woman that wants you. I found a woman that wants me. And it goes vice versa. People say to me, "No, is it hard to be faithful in Hollywood?" And no, it's not. It's not. I know what I want. Monogamy works for me because it allows me to be the best version of myself. On top of that, I got a woman that is worth me going home to every night.
Yeah.
So I don't go home at night.
I got to deal with this mom.
On everything, bro. I'll be away. And once again, this is my assistant is here. The first thing I say is, how fast can I get back home? When you book me out of flight, book me on the last flight out because I got to see my wife and my kids. I'm not the guy that's outside looking for a reason. I be wanting to be home.
Yeah.
She take care of me, Kodak. And that's the thing.
Well, he agreed with you. You're like, yeah, this nigga be in the house.
He know. When people see us on social media, they be like, man, that shit fake. Ain't no way. And the thing is, I tell people, they're like, what do you think about people? And they say, I'm not real. I say, I understand why they say that. I have never seen this level of dedication between two people in my life.
Yeah.
And I love my parents and my grandparents. But they old school. Them niggas, they was bickering and arguing and doing all of this other stuff. And my wife and I saw that and said, we don't want to live like that.
Yeah.
So we made a concerted effort to be different. So when people look at us and think it's fake or think it's different, I understand why they see that. Like I don't get mad. I don't get mad. And I'm always going to tell people, when you find the right one, boy, marriage can be the best. I can, we have four kids fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
And that's your best friend.
My best friend. She's been my best friend since 18. For sure. I don't do anything without that woman. All my castmates, she's friend with them.
Yeah.
Because I become friends with these people.
Yeah.
Since I become friends, me and Christina Milian are friends now. Me and her husband, Matt, are friends. So Christina and Kay are planning a trip to go to New York so that we can go visit Kaylin, who was played my cousin in the film.
Yeah.
He's on Broadway doing Elf. And people are like, why she always got to be involved and stuff? I'm like, that's my best friend. That's why.
Yeah.
So when I go to do stuff and we doing business-wise, we do it as a family.
Yeah.
And I just want people to see that, because I'm not the only one that moves this way. There are a lot of people in Hollywood.
Yeah,
because
a lot of
way.
People say, "Oh, well, all black men cheating." Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, y'all, it's be the black men y'all be around.
I'm gonna be honest, bro. You can't be upset at people who say that, because that's what they saw.
That's their perspective.
That's their perspective. So if that's what you see, like, think about it. If I date 365 women, and every night of the year, all of those women ask me for money and do fucked up shit, I can't then say all women. Those are the women I dated.
Yeah.
So that's what those women got to deal with. All black men cheat? Okay, maybe all the black men you pick, because your choice of discernment is not really good.
Yeah.
That's my comment to that, because I'm not on that type of time. I'm not.
Okay, cool. Listen, DeVal.
Yes, sir.
I told y'all I'm going to get that shit
right. Get it right, Kodak. That's my boy now. We family now, Kodak.
DeVal in the building, kicking with your homies, big homies house, man. Meet me next Christmas, out on Netflix right now.
Yes, sir.
Let's go big. Yeah.